RadioSaintPete.com.
Live event coverage on RadioSaintPete.com, April the 10th, 2014, from the St. Petersburg Yacht Club. In St. Petersburg, Florida, the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club Luncheon, a discussion of the future of public transportation in Pinellas County, Florida. Now to introduce the program, let's go to the podium. Here is Tammy Sims.
Good afternoon, Tigers. In 1962, Americans were introduced to a TV show called The Jetsons, set 100 years in the future where commuters zipped high above the ground in aero cars on their way to work. Well, we're over halfway to that future time, and we're a far cry from mass transit as seen in Orbit City. On November 4th, Pinellas County voters will see a referendum proposing a plan called Greenlight Pinellas. Current PSTA property tax revenue would be replaced by a penny sales tax increase to pay for a plan to expand and improve bus service and ultimately add a light rail network from Clearwater to St. Petersburg. Six out of the seven county commissioners supported the proposal. And although the initiative is widely endorsed by a number of municipalities, chambers of commerce, and powerful lobbying groups, there are vocal opponents. Among them, Representative Jeff Brandis, who recently requested that the Florida DOT investigate PSTA spending to promote the program, claiming that it's using taxpayer money for propaganda. The most outspoken opposition comes from a group called No Tax for Tracks, which claims that PSTA uses misleading ridership figures and financial information to put a happy face on a huge tax increase. Fair's fair, though. Both sides claim the other uses misleading language. So, does PSTA, as they say, truly have a revenue problem that would force them to cut existing bus service if the referendum fails? And what does that mean to you, Tigers? What about the impact of having the highest sales tax rate in the state if the additional penny is approved? Doesn't that run counter to the proposed economic benefit of a progressive mass transit system? Is Greenlight Pinellas a steamroller, or is it a viable solution to our public transportation woes? Opponents argue that there are less expensive, more basic ways to address our transportation needs. So it'll be up to our speakers today to help us determine if we're going in the direction of the future or if we're better off with a more basic model, perhaps like the one depicted in another TV show of that era, The Flintstones. Either way, I'm sure that you can pick up the appropriate yard sign on your way out. Now, by drawing straws, the speakers will begin with Commissioner Ken Welch and then Barb Hasselden, and we'll reverse the order at the conclusion. Pinellas County Commissioner Ken Welch also currently serves as chairman of the PSTA board. Elected to the commission in 2000, he has been reelected three times since. He represents the southernmost district of the county, including most of St. Petersburg. His resume includes a lengthy list of civic service and accomplishments, and he even has a Wikipedia entry under the category of American politician. He's definitely a favorite son of Pilot in South Pinellas County, where he has much encouragement to run for seemingly every higher office that becomes available. He does have his own set of critics, however. In his 2012 campaign, there were allegations of political cronyism and even a lawsuit filed regarding the implementation of term limits, ironically referred to as eight is enough. And the Pinellas Patriots criticized Mr. Welch in 2011 for tweeting and poking fun at the Tea Party during a public meeting just after he had reprimanded a citizen for being disrespectful. A lifelong resident of Pinellas County and a second-generation public servant, Mr. Welch believes that relieving traffic congestion in the Tampa Bay area is imperative for keeping the region competitive. Please give a warm Tiger Bay welcome to Ken Welch.
Thank you, Tammy. I guess that rules out the selfie I was going to do up here. Good afternoon, Tigers. Can you all hear me? It is an honor to join you today. To the techies in the audience, I will say I'm going to disappoint you. I do not have a PowerPoint. I'm going old school today. I simply have the chart on your right that shows you the Greenlight Pinellas plan. This is an exciting time for Pinellas County. We have the opportunity to make a major step forward as a community. The November 4th Greenlight Pinellas referendum, I believe, is one of the most important decisions that this community has made in the 100 years since we declared independence from Hillsborough County. Now, we love our neighbors over in Hillsborough County, but I will ask Mayor Buckhorn to keep his hand off of our raise. To the media, I was smiling when I said that. Greenlight Pinellas is the culmination of 30 years of work and a quest to develop a modern, sustainable transit system for Pinellas County and to give our citizens real choices on how they move around our county, how they get to work, how they get to recreation, how they get to houses of worship, and other life activities that occur every day. The green light process has been a great collaborative effort. It's been the kind of effort that we need to employ on all of the big, complex issues that we face in Pinellas County. The green light process has been based on factual data, on best practices, on objective analysis, and on a collective vision for our future, with the goal of building a stronger, sustainable, competitive, and connected Pinellas County. Now, I know Tigers like quotes, and I'll give you a few quotes today. One of my favorites is, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." We can no longer afford a passive status quo approach to our community's transportation needs. We must not allow the politics of fear, partisan politics, half-truths, and conspiracy theories to poison this debate. And we literally cannot afford to simply build more and more lanes to support more and more automobiles, whether they're driven by people or by computers. Because the fact is, we cannot cure traffic congestion simply by paving over more and more of Pinellas County. So we have a choice between a visionary collaborative plan for a modern, efficient, fairly funded transit system, or we can continue with the status quo. We can follow the lead of those who say no to every new progressive project in this county. And we can continue to carry the distinction of being the only major urban area in the United States without a modern transit system or a funded plan to develop one. The choice is clear. One path empowers our community for the future, and the other path anchors us to the past. Greenlight Pinellas is the right choice for our future. First, Greenlight will dramatically improve transit in Pinellas County. The first improvements that you'll see in the first 2 years is better bus service countywide, with shorter wait times between buses, later evening and weekend service, true countywide service, express bus routes, trolley service, and enhanced local and flex routes. You won't have to wait for a bus longer than 15 minutes on our major routes or more than 30 minutes on most of the rest of our routes. The hub system, like we see at Williams Park, will be eliminated, and we'll move to a grid-based system with much easier transfers at bus stops, better amenities including bike and pedestrian access, shelters, and park and ride facilities are all included in this plan. The plan also includes the most talked about element, and that is light rail, connecting Clearwater, Largo, Pinellas Park, Gateway, Lelman, and St. Petersburg with a future connection to Tampa. Yes, the Florida Department of Transportation has already committed $25 million for infrastructure on the upcoming Howard Franklin Replacement Bridge project to support a rail connection between Hillsborough and Pinellas County. Now, full funding for that rail connection is a priority for Pinellas County. And I will note that Governor Scott recently recommended allocating more than $200 million for a rail terminal at Orlando's airport aligned with the SunRail project. We deserve that same kind of support for our transit system. And there will be a regional effort to secure the balance of the funding for the Howard Franklin rail connection. The second benefit is about jobs and economic development. The rail element of Greenlight Pinellas is important in that it provides a congestion-proof connection between our major activity centers and sets the foundation for regional rail connection. It includes 16 rail stations along the route. And around those stations, we will see retail, commercial, residential, institutional, and other development. The concept is proven. It is called transit-oriented development. And it has happened consistently around the nation as rail projects have been implemented, including Charlotte, Dallas, Denver, Salt Lake City, Utah, and we're already sending in Orlando with the SunRail project. You'll note I said Salt Lake City, Utah. Now, the entire population of the state of Utah is less than the population of Hillsborough, Pinellas, Manatee, and Pasco County. Salt Lake City has half of the density per square mile that Pinellas has. So they're smaller, less density, and their light rail has been a smashing success, with the help, no less, of one Governor Mitt Romney, who successfully lobbied for federal funding for that project. Light rail in Salt Lake City has been so successful that they've expanded it twice, including connections to the University of Utah, Salt Lake International Airport. And the latest extension cost $2.5 billion, more than the green light cost. And it was completed last August, 2 years early, and $340 million under budget. Salt Lake City has half of our population density, as I said, and it proves that when a transit plan has been thoughtfully and carefully planned, it can work, it can come in on time and under budget. Let me conclude by saying that the third element that we really need in Pinellas County is smart planned growth for the future. Transit-oriented development is especially applicable in a built-out county like Pinellas. It allows our community to strategically plan for growth, to add density where it is appropriate, and preserve our lower density neighborhoods and green spaces. That is the only approach that really makes sense in a built-out county like Pinellas. Finally, let me close with funding. Greenlight Pinellas is based around fair and sustainable funding for transit in Pinellas County. Dramatically improving transit will require an investment. You don't get better transit and more transit options by spending less money. So yes, we need more revenues. And the Greenlight plan incorporates a 1% sales tax, which will fund all of the local requirements for that plan. And it's based on a really conservative principle. You don't raise the tax rate, you keep the tax rate low, and you expand the tax base. That generates more revenue. Reagan and many others have espoused that principle. That's exactly what this does. The 1% sales tax will produce about $125 million per year. And where does the bulk of that come from? 35% of the revenues will come from our tourists. More than 5 million tourists per year come to Pinellas County. They will contribute 35% to the transit revenues. I think it's totally appropriate that our visitors help support the infrastructure that will keep our county vibrant and accessible. The current property tax will be eliminated, and I look forward to talking to you about the three ways that we are making sure that happens. And finally, it cannot be said with certainty that we will have the highest sales tax rate in the state of Florida. Polk County is moving forward with a sales tax referendum as we speak, and I will note that Polk County has allocated over $200,000 for an educational campaign. I expect to see Senator Brandis launch an investigation into that as well. I look forward to your questions and comments. Thank you.
I think I stole your thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Barb Hasselden. She's campaign manager and spokesperson for No Tax for Tracks. She's also the leader of the South Pinellas 912 Patriots Tea Party group. She stresses, though, that this campaign is not a Tea Party effort. A staunch opponent of Greenlight Pinellas, she organized her own community education campaign in protest of public monies being spent on only one side of the debate. Hasselden and the No Tax supporters insist that PSTA mismanages the current system, which is the reason for its problems and dwindling resources. Do you think that she and her organization are underdogs? No Tax for Tracks successfully defeated a similar mass transit proposal in 2010 in Hillsborough. Her bio describes her as an outspoken activist on fiscal issues promoting sound government economics. Before you dismiss her activist style, keep in mind that Suncoast Tiger Bay Club itself offers a highly regarded award to citizens who successfully take a grassroots approach to public betterment, whether we agree with their methodology or not. Please give a warm Suncoast Tiger Bay Club welcome to Barb Hasselden. Well, that's very exciting. I didn't know there was a possible a prize. So thank you, and I really am delighted to be here today. I've been looking forward to this very much. And so I do have a PowerPoint presentation, and just getting right into it, you know, I have
after the Hillsborough defeat over there in 2010, I've gone to the PSTA meetings now for about 3.5 years. So what I'm going to be showing you is a lot of their information. If this works, this is not going to work. So I'm going to go over here. All right, first of all, we're going to start with just the basic fact that public transportation at the end of World War II was 50% of the people that lived in urban settings used public transportation. And then over the years, you can see that it has slid down to 2%. And certainly here in Pinellas County, we have less than 2% that depend on public transportation. And this is our public bus system, PSTA. This is a $650,000 hybrid bus that you see running around us. They have about 20% of their fleet of 200 buses that are the hybrid buses. PSTA operations are highly subsidized, which, you know, we would expect to have some subsidization. But the PSTA operations are 75% subsidized by the taxpayer, which is us. Federal and state grants at 22%, passenger fares represent 22%, and advertising 3%. Now, what we're talking about today, and I'm going to be talking very quick so I can get through this, is the ad valorem property tax. That is the crux of the matter, is the 1% sales tax is being proposed to replace the ad valorem property tax. This is 100% of their operation budget, and their operations in 2014 is $63 million. Now, if we then add the capital expense, if we add the capital expense of the budget, which is another $23 million, the total budget of PSTA of 2014 is $87 million. If you divide that by the number of rides, not riders, not people, but rides, each ride is $7, and the person riding is paying 91 cents. So it is 87% subsidized. Next. Okay, this slide I simply have to give us an idea of what happened to our property in the last decade. The red bar is really a dramatic depiction of what happened to the value of all our homes. So here you can see in 2002 to 2007, we hit the high water mark, and I know I thought I was rich. Didn't you think you were rich in 2007? And then, of course, this also shows what happened to the ad valorem property tax that was going to agencies such as PSTA. So their income as our properties went up in value went up, and then as the bottom dropped out of things, and of course the income went down. This black line here in 2011, at the end of 2011, is where PSTA raised our property tax by 30%. Next. So PSTA during that period of time, 2005, built a $40 million facility while their income was up, doubling their space and expenses and expanding the bus lines. And if you haven't seen this, you should drive out and see it. It's on 34th Street. It's quite an impressive facility. Next. The ad valorem, this is another slide that starts with the year 2007, and it shows the high watermark of that $38 million. And then as the economy dropped, the property values went down, and ad valorem went down, PSTA, by the year 2011, had dropped down in that portion of their budget to 2011. They passed the tax increase and went back up. Next. So they raised our taxes by 30%, but still they continued to outspend their income. Next. PSTA, this is a PSTA slide, and it shows you that in 2002, this is the trajectory of the spending that occurred throughout the years. Here's where the bottom dropped out of things. They stalled out. Then here in 2012 is where the property tax. This is an almost unaltered slide for PSTA. This is where the property tax passed in 2012, and then off the spending goes again. This green line here, I did not put this on. This is on. This is where they think that we're going to pass the 1% sales tax and bail out the problem. Next. PSTA salary and fringe benefits are 60% of the revenue. I've been told that the industry standard for a bus system like this is 35 to 40%. Anyone who runs a business that lives in this room knows that you cannot run your business on 60% of revenue going to salary and fringe benefits. But during this period of time, at 2007, you see that they had almost 620 employees. The bottom dropped out. They let people go. Here's where the tax increase happened, and then they start hiring people again. Next. CEO Brad Miller warned that if a new sustainable funding source is not found, PSTA will have to cut services again by 30% by 2016. Next. PSTA is a crossroad. They have to transform at great public expense or fix the bus system that we own. Next. That brought about the highly controversial $1 million green light campaign that Commissioner Welch was discussing. It's under scrutiny. Next. The idea of green light is increased bus and light rail. Next. But it's 90% rail, 10% bus. This is out of the Ernst & Young report that PSTA hired Doug. And it's the darker bars here show you how much of the capital is going to go to light rail. And this here is how much is going to go to the bus expansion. And the numbers shake out. It's $2.5 billion for light rail, $300 million for bus expansion. And in the first few years, they will use the sales tax to expand the buses. Next. Green Light Pinellas is in a tax swap. It's a massive 14% increase in the sales tax rate from 78%. And the ad valorem property tax. Then, it's very important that we understand PSA will apply to issue bonds and obtain federal grants. By using the income stream from the sales tax, they will obtain loans and grants and bonds that will get us a couple billion dollars in debt in our county, initially $1 billion in almost immediately. Next. Doing nothing is not an option, PSTA's Brad Miller said just a few months ago. Next. It's based on many false premises. This is a brochure on their website, and they say in the brochure that we have to get ready because 200,000 or more people are coming to Pinellas County by the year 2040. Next. But that is not true. We have flat growth projected in Pinellas County. Next. They also say we have record ridership on the buses, 1 million people, 1.2 million a month. But next, how do they count bus riders? And I think that, you know, this is one thing that we have to understand, and that is that one bus rider goes to the mall, they transfer a couple times, they go back home, and it's 6 rides. So when we're talking about 1 million rides a month, that has basically been unchanged since I found back in 2008 there were over 1 million rides a month. It's not riders, it's rides, and it depends on how they count that. Next. Have you noticed empty buses? I certainly see empty buses all over town. Next. And the 700, and last summer they did a Pinellas Community Bus Plan in July of 2013. We paid $700,000 for this plan through PSTA last year. And next. And this tells us why we have empty buses. This is an independent bus study. Again, this is on PSTA paper, you can see here. This is a picture of the 40 bus routes that were at that time last summer. That these represent buses, these represent trolleys, these two represent the buses that go over to Tampa, 2 lap lines. This is an unaltered slide, and it tells us that the top 5 local routes account for 46% of the whole system ridership. These two account for another 13%. So combined, these seven routes out of 40 account for 60% of the system ridership. Next. So we want them to implement the $700,000 bus study called the core strategy and the no new revenue scenario. I don't have time to get into that, but this is what we support, the finding of the $700,000 bus study that you and I paid for. Go back. Next. And a lot of these routes could be served by $144,000 connectors instead of the $650,000 megabuses. Next. Another false premise is the link to Tampa. There is no link by rail to Tampa in this plan.
Oh, do I have to stop? No warning?
I can't talk any faster than that.
You can bring that.
Oh, thank you.
All right, Tigers. We have something new in store for you for the question and answer portion. I have the distinct privilege of calling on the questioners. We will also alternate between a question for each speaker, equally back and forth. The speakers will have 2 minutes to respond. There is no rebuttal time. It will have to be formed in another question in the future. So, as we are reversing the order from the speaking, we are going to begin. Actually, the reversal will be in the closing remarks. So the first question will be for Commissioner Welch. Here. And wait for Chandra to come.
I think you're going well. There's an issue about the Tampa Bay Rays keeping them in St. Petersburg, and there's been a lot of discussion that this rail system will go a long way towards keeping the Rays in St. Petersburg. How did you feel about that, Mr. Welch?
Thank you for the question. I think wherever the Rays ultimately end up, mass transit will have to be a part of that solution. So whether it's Tropicana Field, Gateway, or Overhill County, it only makes sense to have a rail connection at that major activity center. But that's not the focus of Green Life Analysis. Green Life Analysis is about building a modern transportation system, building a bus system that we need in this county, and then adding on to that the light rail system that will be congestion-proof and will provide a linkage to Hillsborough and other parts of the region. Since I've got 2 minutes, let me just say, another quote, in the ranking of disinformation, there are lies, darn lies, and statistics, and I would add to that statistics in the hands of no tax and trash. There are so many misinformation items being put out there. Look, I'm used to this because I was chairman of the fluoride council, right? So I'm used to you doing this. But look, you did the same thing during the fluoride debate.
Can you switch back to speaker?
You did the same thing through the fluoride debate. You put out bad facts to poison the debate, and you disrupted meetings just like you're doing now. Look, we're going to have a civil debate, but we're not going to allow this to be poisoned by disinformation. Now, one of the things that we talked about is the fact that FDOT has already put $25 million of hard money in their budget for a rail connection to Hillsborough. That is not something we dreamed up. That is a fact. There is planning with FDOT, TBAR, with Pinellas County, with PSDA, for a connection to Tampa that's integral to our plan. The issue about ridership, our ridership is increasing. The metric that is used nationwide is boardings or rides. That is used nationwide. PSDA did not make that up. And if you look at our data, we are at record levels of ridership. Whether you measure that in rides or trips, folks are using PSDA in transit in general nationwide more than they ever have. Those are the facts. And finally, we don't tint our windows because the buses are empty.
May I remind, please, our members and guests that both of our speakers deserve the opportunity to speak without interruption.
Family of four that want to go downtown to the ball game, it's going to cost 100 over $100 to the taxpayer for that trip downtown and $100 back, and they make it $2 each. This is not fairy tale. This is the reality. In Charlotte, it is $15.45 per ride with a $2 fare. A family of four, $60 to go one way, and they're paying $8. Minneapolis, $21.34. Dallas, a whopping $44.86. Denver, $21.54. So we need to understand the subsidies of these mega systems that we're talking about, and that currently we have a $7 subsidy on our bus system, and certainly it can be a better system as far as being rerouted so people get better service. But the subsidies that you get into when you get into the light rail are unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Unsustainable systems. Thank you.
And a question for Commissioner Welch?
Yes. Yes, Commissioner, Bruce Manhattan, new member. Most light rail systems run on the surface. That means that they're going to take up lanes that would have been used or could have been used for vehicles. In addition, they have to pass through intersections and have stoplights. And so therefore, they cause further congestion at intersections. Could you explain how you're going to address those issues?
Thank you. That is a great question. The alternatives analysis took all of those factors into consideration. When the train is approaching a light and it is about to change to yellow or red, that green light will be extended so that the train can pass through. It will not cause congestion at that intersection. And it will not take away lanes, either the transit system, the light rail system, or the bus rapid transit will not take away the existing lanes from traffic. That's another misstatement that's been put out there by the tax press. Let me piggyback on the subsidy issue. US 19 and Homerton Road are billion-dollar roads that are subsidized. Every time you take a ride on 19 or Homerton or any other road, that's paid for with tax dollars. That's paid for with gas tax dollars. It's about time we get some of those dollars back into our community to improve our transit system. We're the only major metro that has not done that. Now, we heard some of these same kinds of doomsday scenarios when high-speed rail was coming to Florida. And it was canceled, it was killed before the financial analyses were completed that showed it actually would have made money. And we're seeing the same kind of doomsday scenarios being put forward with this plan. But to your question, it will not cause further congestion on those roads. It will relieve congestion.
I have a question for Ms. Hasselman. Yes?
Hi, my name is Lois Griffin. I'm a chronic leave my tag at home person. I'd like to know, I'm almost 74 years old, and I don't expect to be able to drive for the rest of my life, and I'm sure others in this audience are in the same position as I am. What do you propose is our alternative to get to the grocery store, to the doctor, and any place else? Do we have to put ourselves into elderly communities and not participate in our own communities?
Thank you. That is just an awesome question, and actually my field is very close to elderly issues as far as my own personal business. And yes, moving into what they call a continuing care retirement facility, we have wonderful ones, but that doesn't have to be what you have to do. I think that what we're going to find is, look at the innovations. I just said a couple of days ago how wonderful it is that we are living in a time when we have all this access to technology and the computer. And I mean, it's just incredible what we have seen during our lifetime occur. And what's coming is in the way of private transportation. You know, we're seeing innovations with Wall Street Journal articles that are occurring regularly about the private, Google cars, I'll use that as a word, where they're self-directing. And I think we're going to see that, obviously, within a very short period of time. We're going to see innovation in personal transportation, not public transportation. And that's going to be where you will be able. Now, let me add to that also, that public transportation also offers DART. Are you familiar with the DART program, I wonder? Where the public is paying to transport people that are needing to go to the doctor or needing to take different services. So there is already a wonderful program that's being funded by the taxpayers for folks who need rides or who need services. But so we're talking about lifestyle choices, we're talking about innovation in private transportation, thank you, and we're talking also about the fact that the public transportation already addresses the needs of folks who need a lift in many different arenas. Thank you.
And a question for Commissioner Welch.
Yes.
Exactly. Commissioner, my question addresses an item referred to about bonding. I heard the other speaker talk about the possibility of a building. I have not seen a prohibition against the PSTA floating bonds on that increased money. And it does seem to me that there's a potential for $80 to $120 million in bondings to be able to be floated fairly easy. Are there any prohibitions or curbsides for this stuff?
Thank you, David. And that's a great question. Bonding is not a dirty word. With the Penny for Pinellas, we bonded many of those projects to get them started earlier. So we have bonded projects based on 1% sales tax in this county for years. The county is working on an interlocal agreement, and that's another misstatement that's out there. There is no interlocal. The interlocal is being developed as we speak, and it should be done between May and June. It's an interlocal between the county commission, which can authorize the tax, and PSTA, which will be the recipient of the tax. And all the specifics and all the legalities will be in that interlocal agreement. It will give PSTA the ability to bond with initial county oversight. But bonding those projects is something that's been done for a long time in Pinellas County, especially with the Penny for Pinellas. In the time I have remaining, I wanted to talk about the issue of private versus public. It's very important. I believe no tax for tracks is against the concept of public transportation. I believe they want to move to privatization. Ms. said this at SPC last week. It's on your blog, Barbara. You said, quote, transit is a big business, big salaries, big union, and breeding grounds for transformation into bigger public works like doubling down on light rail. You go on to say buses were once run by private enterprise. Then government got involved, and we all know what happens then. This is from your blog. So I believe there's a real question. Do we believe in public transportation and public infrastructure, or do we want to go with the privatization route? That's a basic question, and it's at the core of Green Light Pinellas.
I have a question for Ms. Hasselman. Jerry Evans. Ms. Hasselman, you commented on a $7 per ride on the bus system. Have you bothered to check what the cost per rider is when you start taking my hourly salary into consideration when it takes me more than 3 hours to get from my home to North County?
No, I'm sorry, I'm not quite sure I understand your question.
What is my true cost to travel on the current bus system?
$2, but when you look at the overall, it's 99 cents as far as when you factor out.
I'm asking if you factored in my time. My 3 hour time to ride that bus.
That, what you're talking about there, I think is what needs to be fixed. And, you know, to go back, we definitely believe in public transportation. I can't imagine what our society would be like if we did not have public transportation. It would be a tragedy to see young folks or older folks or any folks, for that matter, that would be trudging down the sidewalks or down the roadways trying to handle their children and their groceries, and it would be a tragedy, and our whole society would be so different if we did not have public transportation. So I want to set the record straight on that. What I'm totally against is runaway public transportation and building our whole society around public transportation. We ought to be building our society around what the innovations, and when I was saying private, I meant personal transportation. If I said a few minutes ago that the innovations are in private, did I say private transportation? Because I apologize, I meant personal transportation. When I said a Google car, that is a personal mode of transportation. I used to, especially when I was starting my business out, Thank you. When I was starting my business out, and I have clients all the way down to Fort Myers, and for years, I pounded across that bridge 3 and 4 days a week in my car, and I would meet with clients in their homes, and I built up a very successful business over the 25 years that my business has been in existence, and I'm up in Northern St. Pete. I could not have done that, you know, without my car. And I think that there has been more wealth, that personal wealth, that have been created through an automobile. And we should embrace that.
And that's time.
Thank you.
Question for Commissioner Welch.
Mr. Lawson.
Darrell Paulson. My question has to do with respect and civility. In discussing this issue, I was dismayed with the response when you began answering the first question in the audience. But at the same time, my question to you, isn't it somewhat disrespectful for you to categorize those who, first of all, in a positive way, support this as a progressive vision for no, and those who oppose it as those who engage in the politics of no, when they may in fact have legitimate concerns about a $1.2 billion tax increase on top of an already $1.2 billion per penny for Pinellas? Is that a fair way to treat those who support the need to pass this referendum?
It's absolutely a fair question, and my comments were directed specifically towards no tax for trash and the information that they have been putting out on the web, in emails, in personal attacks on PSTA board members. It was not to folks like Dave Zadin, who I have talked about on this issue, and he's on the other side of it. If you have a legitimate question, that's what this is about. But if you're going to make personal attacks, if you're going to make accusations about the PSTA board being corrupt, which Mr. Rask made in an email that was blasted around this county, if you're going to attack the sexual orientation of a PSTA board member as some kind of a reason to vote against me like Pinellas in an email that's blasted around this county, if you're going to say that we are tinting the windows on our buses to hide empty buses, if you're going to make those kind of accusations, then I have to respond to that. I try to do it in a civil manner. I think I have a record of the way I conducted myself in office. I've been civil to everyone, but it doesn't mean I'm going to lay down and roll over from misinformation, personal attacks, and misinformation that's being put out there. And so that's why I approached it that way. I definitely said that those comments were directed towards no tax for trash. You know, the internet doesn't go to sleep and it doesn't lie. There is a whole lot of information out there, the comments that have been made by No Tax for Trash. And again, these are also the same folks who have said no to the county on fluoride, no to the county on our affordable housing program, no to the county on even Meals for Wheels. And so that's why I said, folks, and it's the same exact people, I can name them by name, I didn't do that, who have said no consistently, and they have disrupted our meetings consistently. I've chaired a lot of those meetings as chairman of the Board of County Commissioners, PSTA chair. Ask them, don't disrupt the meeting, and I'm courteous to everybody. So that's why I put that out there. Folks need to understand that a lot of bad information is being put out there, a lot of personal attacks, things that don't advance the conversation. And so I think I have a responsibility to respond to that.
Yes, Ms. Hazleton. First of all, I would reject most of what...
Your name, please.
Pete Franco, South Pasadena. I would reject most of what... I feel a little offended with what Commissioner Welch said. It doesn't fit No Tax for Trash. I'm strongly affiliated with No Tax for Trash.
Your question.
Okay, the question is, with respect to... They talk a lot about transit-oriented development. And along East Bay, West Bay, there's quite a few businesses. And I've walked quite a few myself. Do you see those businesses as being helped by this or hurt by this? That's the question.
Well, thank you. I think what Mr. Franco was referring to is all of the businesses along, like East Bay, West Bay, along the proposed rail line, that mostly are not aware that this is even about to happen if it were to pass. And many of these businesses are small business owners that, like the businesses along 19, will probably not be able to survive the construction that it would take, the time involved for that. So thank you for that question. But I just have to reject so much of the the hostility that I feel has been directed. I certainly have not. I'm not guilty as a spokesperson. And, you know, Mr. Grass is not a part of No Tax for Trash. Mr. Grass is not a part, he's not a member of No Tax for Trash. There are many people around the county that attend these various meetings that are not associated with No Tax for Trash. And this gentleman here that just spoke is a retired 23-year Army major. So, you know, we have terrific people that are part of No Tax for Trash, and they come from all over the county, and they're attracted by the message of sound transportation with sound policies. Certainly, I think that we're getting away from some of the issues that have to be addressed, which is a mismanaged system that can be evidenced by all of the buses that are running around town that have two and three people on a lot of these routes. You know, if you have a business, it needs to be fixed. And so throwing rocks at us and trying to attack us personally is I reject that. I have tried very hard to present to you PSTA's own information, their charts, their graphs. I've put the hours into going to these meetings for 3.5 years, and I'm just wanting to bring this information to you.
Hi, my name is Eric Gerard. I commute every day from Largo, Indian Rocks Road, near Walsingham, into downtown St. Pete, Central Avenue, between 4th and 5th Street. My morning commute takes about 45 to 50 minutes. My evening commute takes like that long, or perhaps a little bit longer, to the office between 6:30 and 7 o'clock at night. My question is very simple. With the new light rail system and the improved bus system, what would my commute time be from home to work?
I can't calculate yours. Let me tell you what mine would be. From South St. Pete, I cannot get to Clearwater Courthouse in less than an hour and a half or so. If we implemented this plan, I would take a 5 or 10 minute drive to the parking lot, hop on the light rail, and be to Clearwater in 50-55 minutes. Now, what does that allow me to do? I don't have to have a second car, for example. That's a huge savings. The time is going to be close, but I have now the option of having another transit option. So we can calculate your particular time, but that is what is a big difference in having green light and else. You have transportation options. You can hop on a bus, you can hop on a flex route, and you can hop on the light rail, and then eventually be able to connect to other parts of the county and connect to Tampa as well. I did want to just, again, we have to be accurate in the information. And even though that is uncomfortable, I'm going to continue to press that we have accurate information. Mr. Rask was one of the persons that has been sending out those very confrontational emails, harassing emails, and he sent one with No Tax for Trash signature on it and all the information. And so that's why the PSTA board believes that he is working with No Tax for Trash. He sent an email with that signature, and that's why I'm going to say it.
And this would be a question directed at Ms. Hazel. And if you'll just wait just a moment.
Hi, question, ma'am. My name's Michaela Bridges. My real question is, so your PowerPoint was all about buses and very skewed flaws, by the way. Economics 101 knows that excise taxes go on the consumer, not the producer, so it wouldn't hurt businesses at all rather than help them. But back to the question. You are only talking about buses. I don't know what your problem is with the light rail. I just need what are the non-skewed facts about what's wrong with the light rail, not the buses.
Thank you.
I think that the subsidy, did you catch that subsidy discussion I was having about the subsidies on the light rail? You know, basically what we're talking about here is that we would have a PSTA bus system that would become a vehicle. I think I can actually go back to what he was talking about as far as bonding is not a bad word. Bonding is not a bad word. Mortgage isn't a bad word either, but I don't think I want to go get $1.5 million mortgage. I don't want to personally get into that kind of debt. And so what we're talking about is the county would get into so much debt through this program, and end up highly subsidized. That we, it's like the Hotel California. Once you check in, you cannot get out. So let's say 10 years from now, let's use Charlotte as an example. Charlotte is now looking for $5 billion to go on. We're only talking about one line. Once you start down this road of light rail, we're talking about a line from Clearwater to St. Pete, from one low-density location to another low-density location. We're talking about one line. If we want to then, as soon as you get that finished, they want to go for another line. That's the nature of this piece. And that's another referendum, another penny. And then another line, and another line. So I also want to, so it's a highly subsidized thing, and there's no end to it. And it will just continue to go to more referendums. And Charlotte, they have $5 billion that they have to find in order to handle the maintenance and the promised transit expansion that they had sold to their taxpayers when they passed the referendum back in 1998. So this is a road we've never traveled before, and when you have less than 2% of the people that need public transportation in our county, I say let's fix the bus system so they have great service.
And a question for Commissioner Welch. Ms. Wilson.
I'm Gregory Wilson. Thank you both for coming today. Mm-hmm. Commissioner, if this passes, and we can be optimistic for a moment, the fact of the matter is there's still going to be an awful lot of people who will never ride a light rail and who will never ride a bus. But there has to be something in it for them to vote for it. Can you give us an answer for those voters?
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. I will do that. The first thing that I want to emphasize is that property tax will go away. I want to spend some time on it. The first way we're going to ensure that the property tax is eliminated, and understand that not every community in Pinellas County pays a property tax in the first place. So it's an unfair tax. The PSTA board will zero out that millage. Those are 15 folks. Most of them are elected officials. So we have to go to the ballot box in the election and be responsible for our actions. We have said we will zero out the millage. The second way that we're going to ensure that is the interlocal agreement between Pinellas County and PSTA will have language that makes sure that PSTA zeroes out the millage. If they do not, we will reduce the sales tax that they receive by that same amount. So there will be no incentive for PSTA to have any ad valorem because the interlocal will make sure those dollars come back to the county. The third way is that we're going to go back to the legislature, which did pass legislation that would have taken away PSTA's taxing authority a couple of years ago. It passed the legislature, and some of the same folks that are in this group lobbied the governor to veto it. And he vetoed that bill that would guarantee that the PSTA ad valorem goes away. So that's one thing folks will get out of it. Second, we estimate about 3,000 jobs a year will come to Pinellas County through transit-oriented development along that route. And so that is something that would benefit from. And that is happening already in Orlando with Sunway. It's happening in the other locations. I just want to finish up and say this is not comparable to Charlotte in terms of the fiscal priorities. This has been fully vetted. It's been audited by Ernst & Young. It is a feasible plan. We will not have the same problems as Charlotte.
And a question for Ms. Hasselman. We'll move to Mr.
Thank you, Ms. Hasselman. Thank you for being here. Regardless of how accurate the assumption Neil McMullen, regardless of how accurate the assumptions and the assertions are that you make, they are all present or near now based. What do you see as the outcome of the lack of investment in transportation that No Tax for Tracks will bring about 35 to 50 years from now, given the demographic and the population trends in the state of Florida, as well as the economic trends?
Well, the population trend for Pinellas County is flat, and that's through 2040. We have actually lost population from 2000 to 2010. I'm sure a lot of you folks know that. We lost a Florida House rep in Pinellas County, and so we have to be careful about projections. Because projections often don't pan out. And the Ernst & Young is a great example of that. We mentioned Ernst & Young. You know, Ernst & Young did Charlotte's numbers. And I had an opportunity to speak to the Ernst & Young man at PSTA when they were working on the financial feasibility, and I asked him, what happened to Charlotte? Why did their plans fail? And their plan failed because of the sales tax. And the sales tax failed them. And because the economy went down, the sales tax went down, and therefore their projections did not pan out. And now, you know, they're in a quandary, and they're looking at different ways to try to come up with the money because the sales tax didn't carry them through the day. Now, that being said, there is no tax law. Currently, as we said here, there is no tax law. Now, they may be working on it between the PSTA and the county commission, and the county administrator's office, but you have to understand that currently there is no tax law, and the Finance and Performance Committee minutes from February 2013, Mr. Miller explained that the alternative analysis financial plan assumed that a 1% sales tax would generate $128 million. Thank you, I saw that. The AA financial plan assumed that PSTA would continue to receive ad valorem taxes as an additional source of funding. The PSTA board contradicted the AA financial plan in voting to eliminate the property tax as a source of funding if the sales tax referendum passed. This is in PSTA's, and currently there is no tax swap that has been produced.
Thank you, and I know that the questioner is asking for a rebuttal. I'm going to deny that. Unfortunately, I believe that both of those speakers have taken liberty with their 2 minutes to stray from the initial questioner's topic. At this time, however, we will go into closing remarks. And by order of a straw drawing, that would go first to Ms. Hasselman. And if you prefer, the podium is yours, or feel free to stay here. 2 minutes, please.
Okay, thank you. I just appreciate the opportunity to be here today. And no tax for tracks. I want to say again, we have people who are coming from all over the county that are coming forward and are like-minded with us, that they're concerned about the future of Pinellas County and the debt that this could bring to our county, the commitment that this could bring to our county, that we would never be able to escape. This is a huge, huge decision. And when you have 98% of the people that are using their automobiles and creating their lives around that lifestyle, how many times a day does that telephone, that cell phone, change your world? This is not the way life used to be, that you get a telephone call and all of a sudden, you know, you just found out that your whole day just got switched and you're going a different direction. And you're able to do that because you have your own transportation. Not everyone is that fortunate. But for us to be able to live the lifestyle that we all have come to embrace, we should not be thinking about how we're going to get our county into debt and rebuilding our whole society around a transportation mode that only 2% of the people rely on. So it makes all the sense in the world that we should be having money put into building roads. So in closing, we believe that Green Light Pinellas is a massive tax hike, and that it hurts the poor and the middle class, because certainly the sales tax is the most regressive form of tax on folks who do not have a lot of money to work with or who are living on a fixed income. We don't need a train in Pinellas County. It is based on false premises such as a population that is burgeoning and it is extravagant government spending. So that is our platform, so to speak. And I thank you again so much.
Again,
feel free to use the podium for the final call. Thank you for bridging this debate. Thank you all for being here today. It's going to be important that we get to the facts during this debate. And one of my other favorite quotes is that facts are stubborn things. And despite our determinations or the dictates of our passions, they do not alter the state of facts and evidence. PolitiFact ruled one of the claims that this is a 300% increase on taxpayers as false. We increased the amount of tax revenue by expanding the base, by bringing in our tourists to contribute to our transit infrastructure. The reason that 2% of the people ride our transit is because the transit doesn't take them where they need to go in a timely manner because it's underfunded. We need more revenue to fund the system and bring it up to the same level as every other major metro in the United States. We can either choose to be anchored to the past and where we are, or we can move forward with a plan that has been thoroughly vetted with elected officials, non-elected officials, leaders, neighborhood leaders, business leaders from around this county, from Tarpon and Tierra Verde, have been involved in this process. Again, our population is growing. Don't take my word, go to census.gov, and you'll see Pinellas' population has grown in the last 2 years. The state of Florida had a population decrease in 2009. It was because of the recession. We are rebounding, and we are growing, and we plan for that growth. I want to talk about the Ernst & Young study. Please go online to greenlightpinellas.com. Look at the Ernst & Young study. Not only did we have an AA on alternatives analysis, but we went out and had another and a third financial review that all say that this plan is fiscally sustainable. And it was even stress tested. If we have another recession, it still works. God forbid, even if we have another 9/11, it still works. Read the data that's out there. This is about moving us forward into the 21st century. It ought to be about the facts and not hardline ideology that doesn't look at all the alternatives. I urge you to vote yes for Green Light Pinellas.
Thank you, and I have some parting gifts for the two speakers, so if you would come forward. Proud to present you with our
Thank you.
Politician.
Appreciate it.
Great. Thank you very much.
Hang around. We're going to announce the winner in a minute. I'd like to remind everybody that May 9th is a legislative wrap-up. Here it goes. With Steve Busque and Dr. Daryl Paulson, that name I can say. It'll be here at St. Pete Yacht Club on May 9th. And on Wednesday, May 21st, What's New with Political Polling Nationally, presented by Dr. Drew Gold, with the St. Leo University Polling Institute, and that, too, is here at the Yacht Club. And now, the winner of the Fang and Claw, a stranger, Gregory Wilson. Just a quick reminder about the comment cards. If you didn't put your money in the bowl, please do. Thank you. We're adjourned.
You have been listening to live coverage of today's luncheon from the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club. Meeting today at the St. Petersburg Yacht Club in St. Petersburg, Florida. It was a debate between Commissioner Ken Welsh and the spokesperson for No Tax for Tracks. It was a spirited debate. It was interrupted by a short demonstration in the room. And I should point out also that this issue obviously commands a great deal of attention. This is one of the largest crowds I have seen in my time coming to the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club here at the Yacht Club. The room was filled. Stay tuned to RadioSt.Pete.com and follow our website to hear and see all of our plans for upcoming live broadcasts of local events on Radio St. Pete from the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club and elsewhere. Live coverage of local events, interviews with the people making local events happen, a robust events calendar, music 24 hours a day, including local musicians from the Tampa Bay area, each night from 6 until 10, six nights a week. That is RadioSt.Pete.com. You can hear us online at RadioSt.Pete.com. Or you can download a free app for your iPhone or Android device from your app store. Just search for Radio St. Pete, and you can hear our broadcasts on the go. Now, this live event and all the rest of our live events are archived for on-demand listening. And this program, which you have just heard live, will be in the Radio St. Pete audio archive later this evening. Program recorded on April the 10th, at the St. Petersburg Yacht Club. So now from the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club, this is Joe Bordeaux wishing you a very pleasant good afternoon. Thanks for listening to live event coverage on RadioSt.Pete.com.